Welcome, everybody, to the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am Matt Trudell, and with me, like always...
White quarterback Alex Baker.
Blake Bortles supporter Jimmy Seaman.
Akron, from Akron, Sebastian Merrick.
You want to take a take two on that one?
Akron against the world, Sebastian Merrick.
Akron public school system's coming through. So how are you guys? Well, Jimmy, we know how you are. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Today?
We're tied up in the pick'ems now.
We are tied up in the pick'ems.
Ooh.
Yeah, I picked that Nick Foles game. Aced it.
He did.
He should be one up on you. You can thank Marcus Williams for that.
I told him. I walked with the Saints game. I literally walked out. Like, I saw them kick the field goal. I said, all right, cool. I'm going to play video games. And then I just heard, and I was like, what the heck just happened?
That's why you never, like, turn off a game. Yeah. Because, like, you just get one of the, I mean, there's a certain point where you can.
Yeah.
But you just get one of those moments where, I mean, you just never know. And, like, I mean, the Vikings were screwed. It was just an insane play.
He wouldn't have gotten out of bounds, right?
People keep saying that. It would have been maybe closer than people think, because Diggs' momentum, like, he was really close to just going out of bounds on his own.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, though. If he tackled him the way he should have tackled him, then he wouldn't have gotten out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, and I want to defend Williams for, like, just 1 second, that it was probably the defense coordinator, Sean Payton, probably said, just whatever you do, don't commit a defensive penalty. And, like, they had already committed a couple in that game, and you could almost tell he was, like, trying to pull up a little bit because he thought – because you really look at it, if he goes full speed, he probably does hit him early.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're talking about what the heck is this guy doing, you know, committing a pass interference penalty. I mean, it's just one of those unfortunate things, and the thing that pisses me off about it is the people who, like, go on his Instagram or Twitter and are like, you know, you should kill yourself. I'm going to kill your family. Like,
yeah.
Anybody who does that, like – should automatically just have, like, their life revoked from them. Like, or just, like, I mean, just, you know, and, like, stuff happens. Like, but I'm, like, the thing is, like, that I read, it was, like, this is the guy who was the most devastated. Like, fans think they're upset, but I guarantee you Marcus Williams was way more upset than, like, any fan actually was.
True.
You know, so, but it was a miraculous play, and what is funny is they just ignored the penalty on Stephon Diggs when he threw his helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also never seen, like, more swag in my life than what Stephon Diggs had in that game.
He's the one good thing going for Maryland right now.
Yannick Ngakoue had a strip sack fumble.
Well, true. Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
His 12th in the last 2 years. You know, but
he's been balling.
He has twice as many sacks as Jadeveon Clowney has, but, you know, in 2 less years. But I mean, we're not going to talk about that. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, who's elite, by the way, but, you know, four and a half sacks.
You see that man play in high school?
Yeah.
It was like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick competition. You ever seen that?
Yeah,
I know
seen
you've
that.
Seen that.
I met a 10-year-old yesterday who was 6 feet tall, 200.
Is he Andy Reid's grandson?
No, he was one of my friend's nephews. And I was like, does he play football? She was like, no. I was like, you got to change something about that.
Yeah, put him on a basketball court, play football, do something, like...
At least while he's, like, because his growth could stop, let him dominate while he can.
You know, I peaked in middle school. So, let's talk about the other games, and we'll let you go.
All right.
Go to town on your game. One thing I loved is, and I pride myself on, yes, I'm a Titans fan, but I'm not one of those, like, blind fans that are like, oh, people were blowing my phone up during that game talking about how the only reason the Titans weren't in that game was because of the refs. Not true. Just not true. Yes, there were some bad calls, but there was also, I mean, Derrick Henry couldn't run the ball. He had 28 rushing yards. Marcus Mariota, after the touchdown drive, decided he didn't want to run the ball at all. Got sacked 8 times. We couldn't touch Tom Brady. Like, were there a couple bad calls? Yeah, there were, but I don't think it...
I really think the Titans need another pass rusher, Because, like, they have guys who, like, okay. Like, Derek Morgan is, like, perennial 6 to 8 sacks a year. You know? Like,
yeah.
Decent, you know?
Yeah.
Brian Arakpo is Rackham. Up and down. Jarrell Casey is really more of a,
you know, run stopper.
He's a really good player. But, you know, and I feel like they need kind of that one more guy. Don't really think there's really that guy in the free agent market this year. I guess unless they want to pay, who's the guy from the Cowboys? DeMarcus Lawrence. But it just kind of
feels... be franchised.
Yeah. When the pass rushers are decent in the draft mm-hmm. this year, so I think that's
yeah. I mean, and so they you really look at because I think also need depth because that's like the one good thing about you see like some of the teams that are left like the Vikings, the Eagles, the Jaguars, they all have good pass rushing depth too.
Yeah,
they have guys that can rotate in and out.
Yeah, and we don't rotate much if any.
Yeah, and it just I mean, when they scored that first touchdown, like I wasn't thinking, oh, they have control of this game, but I was like, again, like you said, this is what they have to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people will be like, oh, you don't want to get it early on the Patriots because then you get too cocky. Like, no, you always want an early lead.
You no always
what.
Want an early.
No matter what, you don't want to be playing from behind.
You want an like, early lead on the Browns. Like, you want an early lead on every
yeah,
team.
Yeah, like, score first. No matter what people will say, like, about momentum and stuff like that, statistically, you want to score the first touchdown in the game. You want to keep scoring. Like, you know, same thing with the Jags. Like, they went up 21-0. Was I like, oh, yeah, this game is over? No, but you still – that's the reason they won, because they went up 21-0 in the mm-hmm. first part. So. I mean, it's just it is kind of sad that they kind of just, like, got rolled over, basically. And that's the thing with the refs, too, is, like, once you get rolled over, like, you can really – I will say there was a point where I was getting angry at the refs.
I mean
– at some of the stuff. Like, and I'm not even a Titans fan, but it's just kind of – and I'm not even huge on the Patriots get all the calls narratives. Yeah. Because, like, statistically, if you look at it, it's just not really that true. It just seems like it almost, but – It doesn't help the perception.
My frustration, the situation that I was most frustrated about was the Eric Decker pass interference call.
Yeah, that was.
And then the Patriots get the ball back, and Kevin Byard is blocking Gronk, and Gronk goes right down the field and just shoves him, turns around. First off, he can't cover Gronk as it is, but then you're just gonna let that happen. That's what got me mad. But at the same time, am I sitting there like the punt made me mad too? But I mean, yeah. I'm just like, whatever. Like,
I was really confused because I went to the bathroom,
like, yeah, there's a and you're punt. Like, how'd they get the ball back?
Yeah, they called it as a false start, didn't they?
They made that call, yeah. And then they came and they said, no, encroachment.
Oh, yeah, it was
that's never happened before in a playoff game, reversing a penalty like that. Mm.
Is that a Lions
reference? Yeah, Lions reference.
No one ever remembers anything about the Lions, though, in the playoffs because it's one and done.
Yeah, we're so forgetful.
It's like Maryland basketball.
Mm-hmm. They got more titles than West Virginia.
Okay, cool. I'll give them that.
Also have more football titles than West Virginia, too.
Okay. We got
you guys lost last night.
We did lose last mm-hmm. night. But they shouldn't have lost. Like, that was dumb. Did you watch the game last night?
You know what?
Ohio State's on the rise, baby.
Here we go talking.
Hey, we'd be Maryland.
Maryland is not good. Like, did you see the end of that game last night? They're not good either.
Yeah, we just lost to Michigan.
Michigan, did you see the game last night?
We barely beat Rutgers.
The year game or?
No, their game. Yeah, Maryland.
No,
sorry,
I watched the Cavs.
They hit a go-ahead three with 3 seconds left in the game, and then they fouled a player running down the court.
While he was shooting?
No, just on the floor.
Were they in the
yeah, bonus? They were in the double bonus. So he gets 2 free throws. And with 0.9 seconds left in the game, they win 68-67.
Who did
that's
they
what
play?
You're supposed to do. What?
Michigan.
So with the Maryland
no, that's
win?
Not that's
Maryland
not
lost. They lost by they There's, hit a three. And they were well, up by they were up by 1 point.
Oh, I thought they were up by 3.
No,
like,
no,
yeah,
no.
That's a smart thing.
No,
oh,
yeah. They hit a three.
That's terrible.
They were up by 1 point with 3.2 seconds left. Michigan starts running down the court, and they didn't play defense. So Bruno Fernando just grabs him.
Dumb.
Puts him on the line. And the guy that he grabbed was like a 92% free throw shooter. And they lost 68-67.
I thought that, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I thought they were up by there. I'm like, that's exactly what
they
you might, should
they probably won't make the tourney this year.
It's close. Last
you'll
time,
never know.
When I looked at the bracketology, like, so obviously they do it every Sunday. So obviously this game wouldn't have counted. They were like 11, and so they're definitely going to have to. Although I will say this, Maryland has a propensity to pull like a win out of, you know, especially if it's at home. Like, I think they've consecutively, when they've been in the Big Ten, like either always beat like either like one of like Wisconsin, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Or although they're probably not. I don't even know if they play Michigan State again, but they're probably not beating them if they do.
They need to get rid of Turgeon.
Oh yeah.
He's a great recruiter, but he can't do anything with his talent. No. He can't. And it's just, I mean, they're 14-6. They'll probably make the tournament because, let's be honest, I know you're all high and mighty about Ohio State being the top of the Big Ten, but not a good basketball conference.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
I'd say it's a fourth out of the Power Five. I'd say it's the fourth.
Right now, because the SEC is having such a good year, like, normally the Big Ten is better, but the SEC has, what, like, 5 or 6 ranked teams? And, like,
I know the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are pretty much like running that, and then the AAC has some. They got like
I'm sorry, not the AAC, the AAC is what it turned into football wise.
I kind of like what they did with the Big East, like making it kind of like those like the Catholic
the next
10,
tier,
like
yeah.
of like all these schools who like none of them have like football programs,
yeah,
but, like are like because they actually like a lot of these schools like. They used to be called, like, the Catholic Eight.
Yeah.
It was, like, Georgetown, you know, Villanova, like, Seton Hall, yeah. DePaul, places like that. And then you add in, like, teams like Marquette and
Xavier.
And Xavier yeah. and Butler. It's actually, like, it's actually a pretty good conference.
It's a pretty good conference.
And, yeah.
And, it is. It's not the old Big East, but it's definitely, it's yeah. pretty solid.
And then, when you have Villanova, which,
they're probably the best team playing wise right now.
I think
now,
for
I
like
think
for the first time in a while, they actually probably have like two guys who are actually like real NBA players. Like that's the thing about Villanova is like if you think about their success,
Scotty Reynolds.
They have had
Mikhail.
Like,
Mikhail Bridges is a player.
Like besides Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry was there before they actually really got good.
Yeah,
you know. So
I remember the Scotty Reynolds days.
Josh Hart's probably gonna be okay, but you understand what I'm saying. Like if you look at some of these programs, like it's like. You know, you'll even some of these random ones will get guys that come out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but, I don't know, it's a...
I'm sorry, I digress.
No problem.
We're still on NFL. So, yeah, the Titans game, not much worth talking about. Mike Mularkey gets fired. That made me very happy. When they were saying that, like, when I got the Bleacher Report that was like... It was like working on an extension. I was like, no. And then I woke up. Martin Luther King Day was amazing to me because Mike Mularkey got fired.
Thank you, MLK.
Thank you, MLK.
He would have been proud.
Getting some that was blowback on this one. Yeah.
He does. Your dream came true.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, man, all things are possible.
Well, here's the thing about Mularkey is, like, if they were going to fire him before the Chiefs game, and then they only kept him because he won that game...
It'd be dumb.
That's a dumb decision. It's, you know, it's funny, like, it's like with the Jaguars thing, like, with Bortles, it was like, last week people were like, oh, they need to get a new quarterback, including myself, and this week people are on the trade of him. Now, I don't think one game sample size should decide that. Now, yeah. I guarantee you they're bringing him back next year because you don't go to the AFC Championship game and then switch your quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Ravens.
I was just about to...
Like, you know...
That was my slight caveat.
Which also didn't work out for them, even though at the time Elvis Gerbach was a better quarterback. But you know,
and then they killed a legend, my man Steve.
And so, yeah, but it's just like we should always look. It's like when people talk about quarterback play, right? Like, and they're like, oh, like a guy like Blake Bortles, who's like up and down all the time. And they're like, every game he goes off of, we judge him. Oh, he was really good. Maybe he's really good. Oh, he was really bad. He's terrible. It's like, we need to look at the whole picture sample. And that's what you needed to do with Mike Mularkey, is look at the whole sample and then realize they probably underperformed the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
Especially on offense, which is supposed to be his specialty.
Mariota,
and I give credit to their general manager, John Robinson. He came out and was like, you know, Mike Mularkey had preached that he had gotten Mariota better, but the numbers show that he wasn't better.
Regressed completely. This year,
you know, and sometimes you also just need to change, like, and also like there's like 5 coaches in the league, maybe like 5 or 6 that are like guys that you just not irreplaceable but are like at the top echelon. Then there's like 15 or 20 coaches that are just they're average, they're good at what they do,
yeah,
you know, they're not gonna really mess up. Then there's like, you know, 5 or 7 coaches who just really aren't good. And then there's Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was literally about to say that.
and so, I think.
Why y'all hating on my man Hugh?
I think Mark Mularkey was in that, like, 5 or 7 that's probably not that good.
Agreed.
You know? And then if you can get in that average range, it becomes hard to fire you. You know what I mean?
Well, he went from when we were 8-4, ESPN came out with like a hot seat for coaches in ranks. And he was in the group that was not worried at all, right? Like, he was in the top group of, like, job safe.
It's funny and because the top of the list was, like, Dirk Cutter, Hugh. Who is the guy from Houston? O'Brien. Those were the three highest, and ironically, all three of them kept their jobs.
I will say I don't mind them for keeping Bill O'Brien. Like, I mean,
he's got a butt chin.
Huge extension.
I didn't see that. But
5-year deal.
I mean, you know what? Like, I get more upset about college coaches making that much money because, like professional teams, as dumb as it was for John Gruden to get a $100 million contract, like that's just Raiders money. It's not going to affect their ticket sales.
Yeah.
Like prices, it's not going to affect their salary cap. They're not going to be allowed to spend less on players. If an organization wants to go burn their money, like I'm, you know,
whatever. John Gruden's going to bring Joe Gibbs back.
Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, they were I was reading this thing on like how like coaches second time around have went and like literally besides Joe Gibbs. Terrible. And yeah. Joe Gibbs wasn't even that successful. He just took a franchise that was terrible and at least made them okay-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, another thing with Mularkey is he had this problem in Jacksonville. And maybe he changed a little bit. Players just didn't like him. And, like, once you lose the locker room or even partially lose the locker room, you have to go.
He definitely – so he's like – for all the complaints that Ravens fans have about – Joe Flacco and his lack of emotions, that's Mike Mularkey on the sidelines. You just see him and you're just like, do you even breathe? Like, just get into it, man.
It's
like,
better than confused face Gus Bradley on the sideline.
my favorite head coach of all time was Rod Marinelli. He was like,
Rod Marinelli's a hell of a defensive coordinator.
Hell of a defensive coordinator. Absolutely. No beef with that.
Honestly, I think someone should hire Jim Schwartz again.
Well, he's with the as a head coach.
Yeah.
I like Jim Schwartz. He's from Arbutus.
Hey, I mean, you talk about how great Hugh is. Why don't you just take him?
I don't think we're
quarterback guru.
I don't think we're worthy enough for Hugh yet. I feel like we need to work to, you know, we need to get the guy that drafted Tebow first, and then we can work to
I will say this. It is interesting that there's a lot of coaches that get retread coaching jobs, but there's literally no general managers who will ever get a second chance if they mess up.
Yeah.
There's only one. It's a guy who's in Minnesota, which I find interesting because, like.
Dave Gettleman.
And Dave Gettleman, yeah. But Rick Spielman in Minnesota. Was a failed general manager, like, and they got rehired. I used to be against hiring like retread head coaches, but I think if a guy has a certain amount of success in his background, like with Josh McDaniels, like, yeah, he didn't have good success when he was in Denver. That's
what I argued with these two.
You know, but I think some guys deserve a second chance because it's not like these guys forget football over time. Now, being a head coach also doesn't mean you have to be smart, like the smartest coordinator, because being a head coach is more about being a leader of like. A locker room.
Yeah.
And if anything, then being like the best like X's and O's guy. You know, like for example, like, you know, you just said brought up somebody for the Rams that was their offensive coordinator. Like Doug Peterson was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. He never called a play in his time there. But they saw him as the type of personality type that could come in and be a head coach. Like, and these guys, if you coach for long enough, you know football. Like, as much as we hate on Mike Mularkey knows more about football than we'll ever he'll forget more about it than we ever know in our entire lifetime. Yeah. But it's also about you need a presence as a coach. Like, and as much as like some people like to hit on John Harbaugh too, I think John Harbaugh has that kind of like coach's presence.
Yeah.
Of he's kind of like he's like a leader.
I still think he should have been fired, but
I think that'd be dumb. Like First of all, if he was fired, if I was the Browns, I would give him a John Gruden contract. Like,
dude, that's what I was just telling him. Like, if y'all fired Harbaugh, you know how much I'd.
Well, don't say y'all because I'm not a Ravens fan.
Okay, true.
Like, if they let's fired, that's great.
If they fired Harbaugh, I can't tell you. I would just bring up the Brinks truck, man.
Here's the deal, though. This is why he took a team that was consistently a well-run, top-oiled ship and ruined it. like he did.
No, you can't by bringing them a Super Bowl?
Oh, okay. But then after he won the Super Bowl, he said, look what I do. Let's get all these personalities out of here. And he cleaned all the people that would go against his little special team.
So Ed Reed, who was terrible after he left. Ray Lewis, who was not good last year. Bernard Pollard, who you know can't cover anyone.
Agreed.
Like, I mean, who do they, like, the Paul people they Krug- lost after
Paul
the
Kruger,
Super Bowl?
Paul Kruger, you can hold my beer for that.
Well,
the people they lost after the...
They've been notorious for drafting people and letting them go and them being terrible. Kruger's one of them.
It was so overblown, the players they lost after the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm saying the whole... They don't draft... And a lot of it is the Ray Rice situation, but they don't draft anybody with more than a squeaky clean record. And guys with squeaky clean records, for the most part, just don't do well in
the reason
the
Ravens
NFL.
Aren't good is because Ozzie Newsome, who drafted really well for like 10 years,
and
more
then
than 10
was
years,
capped so. Onto who he should or should not draft because John Harbaugh wanted a certain kind of person in his locker room.
I really don't think that is. I mean, they haven't drafted. Their 2013 draft was awful. Like, they literally have no one front. Like, you can tell who the good and bad teams of the NFL by, but looking at who they drafted 3 or 4 years ago, and, like, those are supposed to be the key parts of their team. Like, that's what the Jaguars
agreed.
Saw, because the Jaguars had 5 first-round busts all in a row.
Okay.
Like, you know, and like...
I mean, I'm a Titans fan.
The Titans have never picked a good player in the second round.
We've gone through it 20 years and counting now.
Yeah. Like, the Titans, it's really sad, the Titans' second-round draft picks, actually, like, history. Like, their 2015 draft, besides Mariota, looks awful.
Agreed.
Like, that's going to affect how good they are next year.
Agreed.
Because those are the best thing in the NFL is cheap labor. As much as that pains me, because I think they should be paid more, like, the best thing in the NFL
But the cheaper guys, the more you can...
That's why the Seahawks won 2 straight Super Bowls, because they were paying Russell Wilson $600,000.
Yeah. And they drafted well in the late rounds.
I'm sorry, though, man. John Harbaugh has been horrible at clock management since the moment he stepped into Baltimore.
I think that roster is a 6-10 roster.
I do, too. Roster is not.
I agree.
How many blue chippers they have on that
I
team.
Agree. I agree. But here's my thing.
That might be the one offense that's worse.
If you
than
go
our
back
offense.
To, like, they were phenomenal at drafting, I don't think Ozzie lost it. I think he's been – I think it's been this is who we're going after.
They weren't drafting, like, those – The boneheaded guys, like, I can't even think of someone who they drafted with that big of a, like, a rap.
Well, Suggs had a bit of an issue when he first came into the league by bleaching women. I'm just being I'm sorry. Like, let's be honest, though. Like, look, the Steelers, right? The Steelers at one point, I don't know why I'm pointing at you. You're not a Steelers fan. The Steelers, I'm sorry. The Steelers at one point decided we're going to get a little bit nicer. So they kept the rapist and they got rid of the guy who abuses women. Like, that it's what happened. They had a whole team that was going out of control and they decided, all right, well, we're gonna keep the white guy that gets in trouble because it's easier to pass him along than Santonio Holmes. Plus, I mean, Ben's better than Santonio Holmes at football. But
or he could just be the Bengals. Give zero.
Shout out to the Bengals, man. Why? Like, I care about what you do on the field, not what you do off the field. As long as you don't get locked
in
jail.
This, one thing that messed with the Bengals was that playoff game against the Steelers where
they completely threw it.
Yeah, like it was just like 32-15 yard penalty. Like it was just like that definitely did not help their perception.
Antonio Brown faked a concussion. Remember when?
Pac-Man.
That is the greatest apology video of all time. I'm just saying, man. I really think John Harbaugh is the person to blame for this. I do.
I wouldn't say that.
His lack of clock management, his lack of getting – he can't have an offensive coordinator that ever works.
There's
– except for Kubiak.
There's like
– look at that roster.
Even when he had a good roster, they had a struggling offense. They had Cam Cameron. They had a decent roster, and they were a rough offense. They fired him, brought in Jim Caldwell, which – didn't make sense to me, but they ended up going on a run and winning the Super Bowl. But outside of that, when has their offense been good under John Harbaugh? When?
Because look at the players they've had.
They had a good roster when he got there. They had Ray Rice. They had him. They had
right, and they did good when they did well, like you said. And then Kubiak came in once Caldwell.
And he did good.
And he did good.
And he did
and
good, and they lost
scraps
him.
Scraps after that. You literally have scraps.
Well, here's the problem. Is
they got a CFL champion.
Drafting offensive weapons and having offensive weapons has been their problem.
Agreed.
Like,
they focus way too much on the defense.
Like Rashard Perriman, for example. They drafted Taliaferro.
Well, here's the issue, though. Here's the issue. They drafted Bernard Perryman when everybody said the dude couldn't catch a football. But because,
and that's on
Ozzie. But because they drafted Torrey Smith and he was able to get some level of hands over the time, they said, oh, whatever, we're going to do this. Like, that's what it was.
I mean, that's on Ozzie.
But if he would have went out and got somebody that's beating kids up in the street that's a wide receiver, they would have been fine.
Who was that kid in the 2015 draft? Like, who was beating up kids? Like,
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it's a bigger than it. At the end of the day, I'll say this. There's like three coaches that actually know clock management. First of all, if I was an NFL owner and I was going to hire a coach, I would do the whole interview process. Be like, all right, I like this guy. And then at the end of it, I'd be like, and he'd be like, all right, we're gonna sign you up. He'd be like, okay. I'm like, just one more thing. 1:30 left on the clock. You have 2 timeouts. It's 2nd and 4, like the 2nd and 11. The other team has the ball at like the 4, like at the 40-yard line. What do you do? And if they can't answer it right away, I wouldn't hire him. Because that's how quickly he has to make the decision.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, Mike Tomlin messed up this weekend. Like,
well, you know, like, Mike Tomlin made a lot of very horrible decisions.
It feels like the only, like, I mean, Andy Reid is notorious for it. Like, I will say this. The Vikings, the reason they won is because they were smart with their clock management.
Yeah.
They took that timeout when a lot of coaches wouldn't have taken that timeout. Because what you have to do in football is you have to prepare for the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario was the Saints were going to make that field goal. And
yeah.
They were going to need the time to go down the field.
Correct.
They don't make that timeout. They don't lose the game. They don't win the game.
Yeah.
So, like, but you don't, most coaches let the play clock run down on that.
Yeah.
You know, so they were smart to do it. So, but there's like 3 coaches in football, I think, who actually get clock management.
Okay.
And it's like Bill Belichick and whoever the other 2 coaches decide to be that week. I mean, it's just.
I mean.
Whoever
the I agree.
2 coaches just decide.
To me, I like to believe that Ozzie hasn't regressed that much because they're still hitting on late round picks. They're just not hitting on the early guys. And a lot of the ones that they. Well, you know, they were this. Supposed to go get the dude with the bong
they
face.
They have definitely adopted the philosophy of moving back and collecting more picks. And they've kind of had a lot of guys who were just dudes. Like,
yeah.
You know, like they there was like one there was like a year, like I think it was 2016, I think they had like 8 picks like 3 through like rounds 3 through 5, you know, because they kept moving back.
Which, yeah.
You know, like I get the philosophy of, you know, like the draft is a lottery. You just got to hit on these guys.
Yeah.
But I also do believe there's a philosophy of like finding like that guy you really, really like.
The guy in that position. Now, that
doesn't
you
mean
need.
That if you get offered something like crazy that you shouldn't take it, you know.
Correct.
Like the Titans were right to take that offer when they had the number 1 pick, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they could have used the Jalen Ramsey, but I think they would have gotten killed if they would have taken someone like that number 1.
Now, I'll say this. You obviously don't like Mike Mularkey.
I hate him.
Okay.
I don't like him either.
I don't either. But give him – let's say John Harbaugh is coaching the Titans.
Okay.
What's their record going to be?
Probably around the same. He's never had a good coordinator other than Kubiak.
I agree with that.
He has held all these guys back. This is the thing.
Jim Caldwell got
Kubiak,
a head coaching job.
Kubiak is the only one that's been able to come in.
Pagano, head coaching job.
That's a defensive coordinator. I'm not talking about the defense. I'm talking about the offense. And what I'm saying is that if you look at it, right, Trestman was supposed to be known as this guy that ran crazy plays. But when he was under the Ravens, it was the same vanilla BS offense. Cameron, same vanilla BS offense.
When Mark Trestman was head coach of the Bears, it was the same thing, right?
Agreed.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing at the end of the day. Your offensive coordinator, for the most part, is very limited into, like, what their quarterback can actually do. And the last 3 years, Joe Flacco hasn't been good.
Like, he's agreed. Been below and average. They decided to have him throw it 40 times a game one of those seasons.
They also...
like
have not been able to run the ball that well either. Like, I mean, until they got Alex Collins this year, which is when they went on their run. Now, they also played a bunch of terrible teams on their run.
Agreed.
You know?
So agreed.
Like, but until they got him, they couldn't run the ball. Like, even Ray Rice's last year, the whole reason
agreed.
People said they cut him was not because he beat somebody up, because he averaged 3.2 yards per
and
kick.
He had that hip injury that was lingering.
You know?
And I agree. I agree with that.
And so they've had unsuccessful tries, like guys like Buck Allen and you know, things like that. I mean,
which was
I don't
stupid.
Know. I just...
Who
I think John Harbaugh
Allen.
Has made that team better than
on
they
the
are. I thought last, I thought the year before when they even went like, what was it, like 8-8 or something, like I thought that team was like a 4-12 team.
I agree. You know? I agree. I thought they were going to do a lot worse than they did this year. Now, granted, like you said, they played a bunch of backup quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks or the Browns twice a year. I'm sorry. You're not going to get here. I've given him enough benefit of the doubt. He should have been fired flat out. And I don't think it's the fact that I agree. He'll get a job anywhere else, right?
Well, here's the other thing. When you fire someone, and this is the one thing you have to be careful about, you got to be able to find someone who's better.
Yeah, who are they going to hire?
Here's the deal, though, right? Are you a believer in the concept of even if you have a good coach at some point, that
yeah, but I don't believe it's time for that. Like Andy Reid is a perfect example of that.
Dude, they went out and got Danny Woodhead, and they went out and replaced Dennis Pitta with his whack hip with a 37-year-old dude coming off of an Achilles. First of all,
Benjamin Watson was like their best offensive player this year.
He was would have been Collins. Woodhead.
Yeah, I know.
It would have been. Yeah. It would have been Woodhead if it wasn't for the fact that he got injured early. But, I mean, that's Joe Flacco. But then that also goes to the development of Joe Flacco, which should fall on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Ravens, their offensive line, which when they won the Super Bowl was one of the best in the league. You know,
agreed.
Unfortunately, you know, as much as Michael Orr hasn't had a career since then, he played really well that year. You have Kalechi Osemele, who's one of the best guards in the league. And then they
had Yanda.
I mean, and Yanda is still good, but he's not as good as he used to be.
Did they have a who was their left tackle?
You also can't
was it
fire
Smith at the time? Or
left
no?
tackle was
no, it was the lockout loan. The lockout loan.
Yeah.
Who's the lockout loan guy?
Eugene McKinney. Monroe.
McKinney. Brian McKinney. Oh, Eugene Monroe came after. He came from the Jags.
Yeah.
I was like, lockout loan. He was the one whose party bus it was that Sweet Pea knocked out Jacoby Jones with the champagne bottle.
He was also on the Love Boat with the Vikings, right?
Yeah. Where they thought they were in international waters.
Yep. Yeah, anyways, this has turned into a very heavy Big 12 basketball or Maryland basketball Ravens podcast now. We're getting really local.
It has. I mean, I was very surprised they didn't fire him, especially because when Bisciotti came out a year ago, he was like, I'm getting tired of this. They had a bad season, missed the playoffs, and then he came out and was like, things will need to change, and then they have another bad season.
I was just, if they would have gone like 6-10, maybe you do, but like,
you can't fire someone just to fire someone, too.
Yeah, I mean, and
you
and like,
can't
look,
do
like,
that.
And the thing is, and maybe we just, have, we just
but
have
you just want to fire
maybe,
Hugh?
Maybe
well, do we really want to have this?
Here's the thing about the Browns. This is what makes the Browns
0-16. We can have this
especially terrible. Not only did they go 0-16,
yes,
they were 1-14 versus the spread. Do you understand how hard that is to do?
It's pretty hard.
You have to just be terrible. Your point differential has to be so bad that you're losing. Like
their point differential is -276.
Yeah,
and you only play 16 games in the season.
Yeah,
that's you only awful. Get one shot. One shot. All right, sorry.
But anyway, let's talk about the team that's going to win the Super Bowl, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
take it away.
Because our Lord,
they could.
Because our Lord Jalen Ramsey said that.
Our Lord Jalen.
And
oh, we just lost the Bible thumpers and the Bible belt. Shout out to Wolfsburg, Wolverhampton.
Yeah, Wolverhampton Christians.
Oh no! But I mean, so here's the thing, and I'm gonna and I pick and even though I picked the Jags to win last week, I still wasn't even surprised they lost, and I'm not gonna be surprised at all if they lose this week. And maybe this is the homer in me. However, this is how I see this. So the Steelers in that game had I don't want to say fluke plays, but they had a lot of plays where it was like perfect coverage.
Dude,
Ben just chucked the ball
up.
And you're talking about
Antonio
Brown is a top 5 receiver of all time.
Easily.
Like if to me, like right now, if I had to choose, I would go Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown.
T.O.?
Calvin Johnson?
Yeah,
I think
sorry,
Antonio Brown is more dominant. Like I love Calvin Johnson.
Antonio Brown, for his lack of size,
it's not even that.
So
like,
dominant.
I don't like the whole lack of size.
Let's see how his career progresses. But I think it's safe to say right now he's not top five.
I'm on his board.
Let's see how his career progresses.
But like his career peak is like literally like the best in NFL history.
Yeah,
he's obviously
okay. But anyways, whatever. And my thing is, even though the Patriots have Gronk, and Gronk is again like. Gronk is the best tight end out of all history. Like most dominant. He's not the most healthy. He's not gonna put up the most things. But the dude like averages like 1.2 touchdowns a game, which is like unheard of. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't happen. Even Jerry Rice, who has the most touchdowns, has like 0.7 or something like that per game, or 0.6. Like so but I think the Patriots are a completely different matchup than the Steelers. The Jaguars were really worried about the Steelers constantly going deep on them. So they had a lot of underneath. And that's how the Steelers gained a lot of their yards. Some of those on those truck plays, but a lot of them underneath stuff to Le'Veon Bell, to Eli Rogers, to the tight ends. The Patriots are going to be a completely different story. And they have one guy who can go deep in Brandon Cooks, but he's been really inconsistent this whole year. He had zero catches against the Titans, I believe. Like, he's very inconsistent.
Who is it?
Brandon Cooks. Yeah,
he was a...
And so he's like their one deep guy. And Brady, as the one place he's regressed in his game, is throwing it deep. You know, they try to throw it deep, but he's not as accurate. Now, he's still good, but he's not as accurate as he once was. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the best deep throwers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He has an accurate percentage throwing deep of like 45%. And that's not like completion percentage. That's like, do you put the ball in the right place?
Yeah.
And with the Jaguars defense, I think they're going to take a different approach. I think they're going to get up on the Patriots' face, and they're going to say, beat us deep. And I guarantee you, they're going to put Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski. Jalen Ramsey's a big dude. He's like 6'2", like 220. You know, again, no one can stop Gronkowski, but can you at least can you contain him?
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, I think they're going to take the Bill Belichick approach of we're going to take away your best, or they're going to double him. We're going to take away your best player, and you're going to have to beat us that way. Now they easily can. Then the Patriots are going to beat them schematically rather than more talent wise, especially with guys like Amendola and Chris Hogan and things like that.
Now, how do you think they're going to cover Gronk? Do you think they'll obviously?
I think they'll mix it up. So I think they'll put Ramsey on him a little. I think they'll double him. See, the thing is, the Jaguars take a very one thing about the Patriots is the Patriots are really good at uncovering things and people's like schemes that they try to hide and everything, and exploiting it. The Jaguars are very simple in what they do.
All that extra footage.
Yeah, they're very simple in what they do. They blitz less than any team in the league by far. They rush four guys. They play seven guys back. They mix up zone and man a lot. But besides that, they basically don't disguise anything in coverages. Their whole thing is our guys are better than you.
Yeah.
They're more talented, and they're fast and physical. We're just going to set up. And, you know, and so while the Patriots are usually really good at undercovering, there's nothing to uncover in this game. The Jaguars are going to play their game. And the Jaguars have the same DNA of teams that have beat the Patriots in the past.
The tough defense with swagger. That's what I've been hearing all week. Ooh. I agree, but that is what I've been hearing all that same sentence. It's like you ever watch like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the Daily Show, where they show like the same news come like all these news anchors saying the same thing like in all these different markets. Like that's all I've heard all week.
No, there was a little. Like the article that I read that had like the defensive DVOA and like the rankings of the stuff of teams that have beaten them before, the Ravens, they have a very similar statistical profile.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're going to go in there and win, they're going to dominate, but they have a chance because they do the one thing that like in any quarterback is worse when you get pressured, but they do the one thing that can stop Tom Brady is they can knock him on his behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get to him and they can create pressure. You know, even with, you know, not sacking Big Ben that much, they still created a lot of pressure for him. And so
made it uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then on offense, that's actually where it worries me more, because can Blake Bortles put two games together like that?
I'll take Blakey B over Mark Sanchez.
I think they're gonna have YOLO mentality, kind of like they're gonna let him throw.
They're
the
playing
ball
with house money,
you know. Like, but I don't think they're playing with house money because I think they can beat them.
They can,
you know.
They can.
But I think what they have to do to beat them is be aggressive.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles is much better when he throws on first down. When they're not expecting him to throw. You know, some of their worst games this year with Bortles have been run, pass, run, like in obvious pass down situations. I think they have to be aggressive, and they're going to have to control the clock. But and the one thing that does bother me, everyone's like, oh, Tom Coughlin, like he beat the Patriots twice. It's like, dude is like sitting up, like he's like the vice
president. He's in the press box. Offer, yeah,
like, I mean, I'm sure he has an influence, but you know what? And so maybe it's crazy, and they're 10-point underdogs for a reason. You know,
they'll bring David Tyree in to have a motivational speech.
Eli, bring them all in.
I don't know, and it's just everyone keeps saying, you know, Blake Bortles isn't gonna come into Foxborough and win. But you know what? People have done it. Like
I would take Blakey B over Mark Sanchez any day of the week.
The Broncos 2 years ago
had the butt fumble.
The Broncos 2 years ago had pretty much the exact same profile. Like you know. You know, don't turn the ball over. Like, even though Peyton turned the ball over a lot.
I would take Blakey B over that Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Well, I would take Deshaun Kizer over that Peyton Manning.
You are not allowed to hop up into this conversation right now, okay, Mr. First Pick. We'll talk to you at draft time. Yeah. It's like
I take him over Matt Staff.
No. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
why are you hating on Matt Stafford? Hates Matt Stafford.
Blake Bortles has never been accused of rape.
True story.
Exactly.
Yeah. True story.
Y'all he's also fanboy about the playoffs. Alex and I can have fun with our 0-16 club.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, he hates Matt Stafford. It bothers me.
I never said I hate Matt Stafford.
The fact that, like...
I think he hates Jim Bob Cooter more.
I hate Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, but he's always just like... Well.
I feel like the Lions have never had like any talent on defense, so...
Darius Slay's pretty good.
They had Nick Fairley when he was popping mollies in the club.
Can't believe Helonian Otto is still playing for him like this year. I was just like,
I thought he was going to retire.
Yeah, right? I remember Glover they got Quinn's traded there pretty like good 3 years too. Ago.
Who? Glover Quinn.
Yeah, he's good.
You had Ndamukong too.
Yeah. What's he doing now? I know he's with
stomping in his Air Force Ones, probably somewhere.
What a terrible contract that was.
So glad we got rid of him.
Why?
Ezekiel Ansah.
Look what he's doing
now. Lions got pieces, man. They actually got a good team.
They have the illusion that they have a good team.
That's why we go 9-7, 8-8 every year. We're like a little bit better than Jeff Fisher.
Imagine if you guys had a good running back. Like
y'all can't hold Mike Munchak's jockstrap. That was a terrible hire. Like, that was such a bad hire that when they hired Mike Mularkey, even though I wasn't mad at it, even though I was mad at it, I was like, well, at least it's not Mike Munchak. Like, but, yeah, rough.
I hope Pat Shermer does great for the Giants. He stunts Pat on you.
That is hilarious that they hired him.
Offensive coordinator.
I can't believe you guys are going after Mike Mularkey for offensive coordinator.
I mean, I don't know. Dude, you just rehired Mike Pettine. He was like, the best coach you had.
It's
like,
not.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't understand when they fired him. He's now with the Packers. You should get
Schiano.
D coordinator.
Yeah, Schiano.
Greg Schiano, that'd be fine by me. He's better than you.
I think he's a very good college guy, but I don't think he's an NFL guy.
That's fair.
I really liked Schiano when he was coming out of Rutgers because he had some teams at Rutgers.
And we all know how you feel about
also
Rutgers.
The personality that's a
I don't really have any beef with Rutgers. I think their basketball coaches try to discipline the players as well as they can.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Don Imus isn't a fan of them, but
Rutgers basketball. I mean,
hey, we just beat Rutgers basketball.
Hey.
We just beat Rutgers basketball.
You and your two fans.
Yeah, we just beat. This man is so on Ohio State basketball right now. Like,
yep, that's why
one in the Big Ten.
I will say this: the one thing that I've gotten like the last like I guess day and a half, I think I've probably had more people hit me up that haven't talked to me in like years.
Bro, yeah. That same thing happened to me when we beat the Chiefs. My phone was ringing. Like, I was having to tell my friend, yo, hold on. I hang up. I'm getting a call from this person. I'm going to go over this person. They're like, ah! You know, and then when we're playing the Patriots, because we're playing the Patriots, everybody wants us to win. You know what I'm saying?
No, no.
It's just like, go Jags, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I was sitting there, and then they're like, all these refs. And I'm just like, yo, leave me alone. Like, I'm just – I trust me. The refs had some horrible calls, but the Titans were never going to win that game, especially because the way – the See, you know how I say just how they talk about how the tough defense with swagger is what they're saying about the Jags? Well, what they were saying the whole week about the Titans is, well, look what Deshaun Watson did. If Marcus Mariota can be a little bit mobile, you know, Marcus Mariota can't throw for 385 yards in a game ever.
Yeah, he ain't no Blake Bortles.
He's he's not. Marcus Mariota is becoming more of the guy I thought he was. He's still better than I thought he was.
Because I don't think his second year especially was a fluke.
I agree. I think he's good.
And the really good thing about Mariota is the one thing you can look at is his red zone.
Which he broke that happened. Was that the Chiefs game? Yeah. Is when that went away.
All right, Matt. If we offered you the fourth pick today for Marcus Mariota, straight up, would you say yes or no?
Probably not.
No. What about number one?
Probably not.
No.
All right. No,
because I don't believe in any of the quarterbacks coming out. The only guy I had some belief in was Rosen.
Would you offer the first and the fourth pick for Mariota?
No. I would not do that.
I think Mariota has...
I would give him one of the two.
We'll give you Blake Bortles. He was the first and fourth pick.
For some odd reason, he feels like he needs to be the guy that makes the perfect play every play. It's like the fact that he didn't find Corey Davis until this past weekend just has driven me crazy. It's like... Right. Obviously, we actually
have an elite receiver in Rishard Matthews, though, so he gets a lot of targets.
But that's the thing is he'll throw it to Rishard Matthews three times a game, it just makes no sense. And then he'll on third down, no matter what happens, right? I will guarantee you, absolutely, the ball is either going to Eric Decker, who will drop it, or in triple or double coverage to Delanie Walker, every third down. Every third down. You don't have to guard anybody else. He doesn't throw it to anybody else on third down other than Delanie Walker or Eric Decker. Or he throws it to Adoree Jackson. You know? And it's just
put the game on the line. Short of the first down, Adoree. By the way.
I think, and it's funny because I think Adoree ended up being our better draft pick, but I think he ended up being our better draft pick because Marcus Mariota just didn't even look Corey Davis's way. And I know he was injured at the beginning of the year, but you saw some of those catches he made. That's the wide receiver we've been waiting for.
Hey, he went to
He was dragging both his feet on the sidelines. Yeah, man, go Broncos.
Bronco.
Yeah, home of Greg Jennings and Tony Schaffler. See the useless trivia.
Didn't Antonio Brown go to Western Michigan or Central Michigan?
He went to Central.
Yeah. Oh, funny story about Antonio Brown. Literally, everybody at that school hated his guts.
That's why he fell.
He even admits he was a terrible person when he was in college. But it's just it's just funny how you're right. Some of these people who these are terrible people. They were he has no workout. I didn't try when I was.
I build my fantasy teams off of people.
Maxion.
I build my fantasy teams off of criminals.
Obviously, my high
school
life was filled with good Maxion on Tuesday nights.
Dude, I love the Chippewas.
Dan LaFever was the man.
Who's the Northern?
Yo, that hit way too hard at home, man. I hate you for that.
Who's Dan LaFever?
No, yeah, I know
who's the Northern Illinois quarterback back in the day. The Northern Illinois quarterback.
Oh, God. Lynch.
Lynch. Lynch was his last name.
Paxton Lynch.
No, it wasn't Paxton Lynch.
It wasn't Paxton Lynch. I know who you're talking about.
Jordan Lynch. That was...
He's the backup quarterback.
Where did the Northern Illinois coach go?
Really?
Where did the Northern Illinois coach go?
He's at NC State.
This man, Alex, likes the MAC because it's a breeding ground for the CFL.
Dude, the MAC played...
He loves the CFL. Him... And this kid Esteban are the only two people I ever knew that liked the CFL. And Esteban likes everything.
We may be losing some Canadian viewers now, too.
Look, I love my brothers up north, but let's be real. Y'all don't play real football.
Jeremiah Masoli's there. Remember him?
Oh, my God. Wasn't Richardson's he the guy there, who was Ole Oregon? Miss? And no, he was Oregon, then Ole Miss.
Then Jacksonville State, I think. Was that?
Good old.
Yeah, isn't Jackson. Brandon Banks there now?
Yeah, play for the Redskins.
Yeah.
Trent Richardson, I know, is there.
Trent Richardson.
They get Johnny Manziel to watch a game there. They get Johnny Manziel up there. Might as well.
Why not? Why didn't Tebow take that contract? He could have been a king. He's already a king in America.
I think Tebow would have been worse than the CFL. The CFL is way more of an open passing. Run and gun.
He would have been better for arena football. Yeah. He could have been a Philadelphia Soul. Working for Bon Jovi out there.
I will say this. Arena football in person, I would never watch on TV. I've been to a couple arena football games in person. It's really fun.
My brother got mad at me once because he was like, "Yo, you want to go to a Philadelphia Soul game?"
The balls always go in the stands.
Well, so here's what happened. So yeah. I went to a game in Kansas City that was a playoff game.
Okay.
Arena football playoff game. I can't remember who they were playing.
Probably the Cleveland Gladiators.
The San Antonio Stompers.
I don't know.
The Cleveland Gladiators, like, were on this dynasty. They won, like, six years in a row.
Yeah, no, but...
Oh, so LeBron didn't bring a championship back to Cleveland. You're telling me that the Cleveland Gladiators...
The Cleveland Gladiators. Alex
and knows. Keanu Reeves from The Replacements brought the...
Dude, the Gladiators are better than the Browns, I'm telling you.
So the game was on, like, ESPN2.
Yeah.
This is back when they used to show it. But the stadium was, like, maybe, like, two-thirds, like, full. And so they were like, if you guys want to go down to the first row, because that's what's shown on TV, you can't. So, like, I had to go, like, three rows behind. And it's like, yeah, put, like, literally, like, a player will fly into the stands. Like, you know, I'm just like, this is incredible.
This is,
like,
pretty gnarly.
Yeah, like, and it was a really good game. And it was just, like, I did get, like, a little confused with, like, the rules, like, where people can run up and stuff like that. Yeah.
We got a team in Baltimore now.
My brother, the Brigade or whatever.
Yeah, we got Cadre doing the games. Hey, guys.
My brother was like, hey, you want to go to a Philadelphia Soul game? I was like, nah. I'm sorry.
I went to a Philadelphia Soul game.
It's too long of a drive for me to go watch it.
Well, if you're already there, it's
good. Once the Gladiators are in town, that's where our next podcast is going to be.
Yo, we can do a pre-Cleveland Gladiators Baltimore Brigade
podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We'll try and get the coach on here because he'll probably do all the press because no one cares. Like,
you get a press pass. Like,
right. Yeah, dude, it'd be great.
Hi, I'm from Dragon Digital Radio, and they're like, oh yeah, hey, we know who you are. Like, just blowing smoke. Yeah. Like, you don't know who we are, but you're just glad someone's here.
Probably the only people right now talking about arena football.
All of a sudden, CFL. Mike Preston's there. He's like, hey, like. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about your Cavs.
All right, let's do it.
How are you feeling about them right now? ESPN came out with an article that said they have no faith in themselves.
I know. I think, honestly, it's probably the same. Like, I have no concerns about them making the finals. In terms of beating the Warriors in the finals, it's obviously they're probably not going to win. But you obviously can't count them out without LeBron. But I expect them to make a move. I think it's safe to say they're going to have to make a move, and I think they will. Whether they trade the Brooklyn pick or not, I doubt they will. But it might just be like a small trade, whether it's like adding a wing like a Kent Bazemore, or it could be a big trade like adding a DeAndre.
Actually,
Jordan.
I thought of like a. Adding a Bazemore and like a Deadman is kind of like if they could use their own first round pick, because like the thing with Smith is what's good about Smith is he has like a almost fully non guaranteed last year.
J.R. Smith,
and so he can be like Bazemore has an extra year. Atlanta, they'd maybe want to get rid of some salary down the line, things like that. I mean, that's probably what they'll have to do, because the thing is they don't have the guy available that's worth the Brooklyn pick. Like, and even if it was going to be like a DeAndre Jordan, which you could argue the value of that, but let's just say someone thought his value was worth that, even though the Cavs have said they're not, well, he's probably off the board now, too.
Right.
So, like, you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, you do this every time. You look at who the sellers are, the teams who are the bad teams in the league. And even, like, a guy like Charlotte with, like, Kemba Walker has openly said they're not going to trade him, basically. You know, I think could be a mistake for them, but.
No, I think it's a huge mistake
for them. You know, but. You know, and also, like, this, like, how much does Kemba Walker make them better? Like,
I'll say this, though. What if Marc Gasol's probably going to be available?
Hold on.
But it's, do you give up that pick for a 33-year-old center? Yeah, he's good now.
Here's the deal, though.
But,
all right, because LeBron's leaving, right?
Well,
and
I
Cleveland's
going to
suck forever. After that. So when LeBron, like, why not? Like, most of the time, I would agree with you and not.
LeBron's going to leave.
Why?
He's
never done it before?
Where is he
going
to go?
L.A., somewhere not Cleveland.
He's not going to the West.
Yeah, I'm with him. I don't think I think
he's not going
to
leave.
I've said all along I think he's going to go to Philly, but
I don't think he's going to stay in Cleveland. I'll tell you
if
that.
If he leaves, he's going somewhere in the East. Maybe.
But when he leaves,
he's going to go to the Zardos, man.
Zardos,
the Wizards.
Oh yeah, that would be a dream come true. I'll tell you that.
Don't you like? Are you a LeBron hater?
By definition of most people, I'm a LeBron hater. I just don't think he's really. He's not better than Jordan, in my opinion. And I can back it up. But no one wants to hear it because as soon as you say anything negative about LeBron or Blake Bortles, they just want to jump down your throat.
You know what's funny? You saw it right there. Yeah. Well, because like, people didn't take that quote. They were like, because they asked him, like, you know, do you like, how do you feel about the criticism?
Yeah.
He was like, well, you know, LeBron James gets criticism. So, like, of course, like, I'm going to get criticism.
Yeah.
But like,
people took it way out of context.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're comparing yourself to LeBron James?
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Yeah, that was.
What if I do? What if I want to be the LeBron of quarterbacks? You know?
What should I do?
I'd score all your points in the third quarter because the fourth quarter is when you disappear.
I'll say this, though. Back to the Cavs. Their schedule is not – it's not – they have the Magic on Thursday, but then they have the Thunder and the Spurs. So it's not getting any easier.
All right. I have a blockbuster trade that I remember that I did, and I saved it because I don't have a life. So I just sit – when I'm at work, I sit on the NBA trade machine and – make up stupid trades.
Okay.
All right. So this is what it is. It involves the Grizzlies.
Okay.
The Grizzles. All right. So the Cavs, they get Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Tyreke Evans, and James Ennis.
Okay.
And they give up the Brooklyn pick, and they give up Thompson, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Frye. Now, in this scenario, Thomas would probably have to go to another team because I don't know why the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Because the Grizzlies couldn't trade him because –
right.
It's at the point now where, because you can't be traded 30 days after you're traded.
60.
Yeah. It's usually 30. Sometimes I thought it was 30.
Changed it.
Anyways. So, but like, the only reason the Grizzlies would do this is because, and they wouldn't, but they have so, that like Conley contract and Gasol contract are like awful for them going forward. Like,
right.
And they need to fully rebuild, and they need to be tanking Palooza. And the Cavs, like, I'm not sure about Isaiah Thomas right now.
You probably got to add Chetty Osmond.
Yeah, and you could do that. You could add Chetty, you could add Zizic, whatever. You could add, you know, whatever. But the reason that would help the Cavs, and this isn't going to happen, by the way. The reason this would help the Cavs is Conley's a better defender than Thomas.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, he's probably better against them against Golden State, and Gasol's a good defender. And then getting a guy like Evans is good. So. But you know, they're going to have to be creative in how they look at it. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, the problem with the Cavs, Tristan Thompson's regressed. J.R. Smith's regressed.
He was never really that good.
But J.R. Smith's
Tristan Thompson or J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith's been
Tristan Thompson.
J.R. Smith's been straight up awful this year. Like,
yeah,
he's
awful.
He has like a 6 PER.
Yeah,
like,
really bad.
You know.
You can't play Korver against the Warriors. Isaiah Thomas against the Warriors is not ideal.
Why can't you play White Jesus?
Did you watch last night?
What?
Charlie Whitehurst?
Yeah.
That's Clipboard.
No, that's Clipboard.
That's Clipboard.
Jesus.
Kyle Korver's
Kevin Love against the Warriors, not ideal.
In the NBA.
Like, their whole roster, like, I'd say the only players on the team that could match up against the Warriors, LeBron, Jeff Green, who I know Jimmy's not a big fan of, Jay Crowder.
He still has potential, guys. Jeff Green, he's still going to be really good.
He's going to be the man.
Jay Crowder and Amon Shumpert. And tell me if I'm missing someone, but I think those are the only four off the
top. And Amon Shumpert's still kind of like cringeworthy too.
Right.
He's like such a like
douche.
It's not even that. He's just such like a I can't even think of the word. He just really takes down your offense.
Yeah, okay, yeah. He's
like,
just
he's like a wormhole for your
offense. He's
like,
an anchor.
Yeah, he's an anchor. Like, there you go. Like, I just couldn't even, like,
and I guess D Rose in a way.
Oh god, no, D Rose can't.
Wait, are we Derrick Rose?
Yeah,
Derrick Rose is like the worst defender they have on their entire team.
He's not worse than Isaiah Thomas.
Derrick Rose shouldn't even be in the league anymore.
Trust me, he's not worse than Isaiah Thomas.
Derrick Rose is terrible. Derrick Rose shouldn't play on that team anymore. Like, I think now.
Well, who's gonna play Isaiah Thomas?
Derrick Rose
or
should
Jose
go where
Calderon.
Brandon Roy's knees went.
They shouldn't play either of them. But this is
if nothing changes,
they should play. I think they should, at least for the Warriors, it always sounds weird to put Thompson back in. Because they need some sort of defense, like semblance of a defense, even if they're going to play Level out center. So you have, I would start.
They should get Aaron Kraft.
I would start
Aaron Kraft.
Thomas. You could honestly start Crowder instead of Smith. I mean, he's just been so bad.
I would go big and start Jeff Green and have LeBron. I wouldn't even
love
play
Jeff
position.
Green.
I would do like an IT LeBron, Jake Crowder, LeBron, Jeff Green, Kevin Love. And you don't even have to like. Because honestly, Jeff Green, I know you're not a big Jeff Green fan, so
he's had a good year. I'm not a huge fan of like the Jeff Green like experience, you know, like, but
that's fair.
He's in like,
but I think you can obviously Isaiah and Steph, that's going to be a mismatch. LeBron's obviously KD, You can have Jeff Green on Draymond, because Draymond, I don't think he's that big of an offensive threat. Obviously, he's an amazing defender, and he's like the heart and soul of that team. And then you can have like a Jay Crowder chasing Klay Thompson around the wing, and then you can hide Kevin Love with whoever.
You basically you play like at that point like Wade, Korver, maybe Shumpert. I mean, like, it just you're right. They have a lot of like one way guys. What I'm excited for is, do the Wizards trade their first round pick again? Because they just love trading their first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, other than, well, recently we've gotten better at drafting. Otto Porter ended up not being bad. It took him some time. Brad Beal ended up being a lot better than I thought.
If they only would have taken like even if it was Klay Thompson instead of Jan Vesely.
Jan Vesely, Oleg Petrov.
Kwame Brown, man.
Kwame Brown, you know. Do you really think LeBron's not leaving?
Yes, I really do believe that.
Why?
Where's he going to go? That's a better situation.
Any team instantly becomes a better situation with LeBron.
LeBron, where's he going to go? That he will never take a penny worth in what he's left.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not going out west. So get all those west teams, goodbye.
So this is the other thing. This is the other thing that could happen this offseason. Because there's going to be a lot of teams that don't have any cap space. Because the summer of 2016, screwed people over. Because they thought the cap was going to rise up again. Well, teams spent so much money that like the balance evened out. And so it was supposed to go up again to like 108, 110 million. Now it's stuck at 99.
Yeah.
And so teams thought they were going to have more space. They don't. There's going to be a bunch of teams next year who are in the luxury tax. Like teams like Denver, like Charlotte, you know, like teams that like will never pay the luxury tax. Like the Wizards are in the luxury tax this year, and they're going to most definitely be in luxury tax next year, which means their tax bill is going to be even higher. There's not going to be a lot of teams with space. So the other thing that you could see that was popular in the NBA for a while, when for like a 10-year period, it was like this, and like almost no teams ever had cap space. That's why expiring contracts were really valuable. You could see a sign-and-trade. You know, like, if he wants to go play for the Bucks, they don't have any cap space, but, you know, if he wants to go play with Giannis, you can do that. Like, the Wizards, like, if he really wanted to, you know, they could move some salary, like, to do that. And, like, you know, here's three first-round picks, you know, we'll give you, you know, whoever. Like, I mean, like, it's just so it'll be interesting. But, like, I've always said this. Now, LeBron won't do this, and he's not going to take a minimum contract. But, like, the Warriors are unfair. The only way to beat the Warriors is to also be unfair.
Agreed.
Right.
Like, I just want him to sign, like, a minimum contract with the Bucks, play with, like, Giannis.
Yeah.
You know.
Cheat the system.
Yeah, just give yourself – because you know what?
Because let's look at it. Let's look at the Cavs and how old and terrible they really are. Well,
that's the other thing is the Cavs –
you're talking about –
Kyle Korver's been in the league since I was, like, in middle school.
Okay.
I'm 29 on Saturday,
You act like Kyle Korver is one of their most important players.
It doesn't matter. You're looking – they stack the back end of their bench or their bench in general. Tristan Thompson should have never got the contract he got. He's horrible. And that was before he met a Kardashian, which historically showing when you meet a Kardashian, a lot of weird things happen to you.
But
especially basketball players.
Who's on that team
that you look forward to?
You can't tell me Kevin Love's not an all-star.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas is not an all-star.
Okay.
Their biggest problem is – this is a bigger problem.
The problem with the team is they don't play defense. That's the problem with the Cavs.
It's the NBA.
Well, no. They also have especially not good defenders. Like,
I mean,
Kevin Love, no matter how hard he tries –
you probably think they're not even going to go to the finals.
They'll probably go to the finals by far. But at the end of the day, moving forward, if you're LeBron, right?
Right.
LeBron left originally because y'all weren't going anywhere.
Well, it's also
you weren't
correct.
Helping
here's
him.
The other thing.
And where is he going to go?
Here's what I'll say.
There's a clear fit in Miami. There's no clear fit now.
Here's what I will say. He left Miami when if he would have returned the next year, they probably still would have gone back to the finals.
Yeah.
But he saw that like Cleveland, a chance to go out to Cleveland. You have Kyrie. He was basically promised
I get to play with Anthony Bennett,
for, like either Kevin Love or someone else. Like right. You know, and he saw we can get younger. And what's funny is the point of like Kyrie and Kevin Love, like being the new core, was supposed to be when LeBron starts to get older. mm-hmm. they're going to be hitting their primes. Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, it didn't work out, but that was the whole point. Cleveland also, and smartly, has exhausted pretty much all of their options when it comes to trying to make their team better. You know, and, you know, it's worth it. They won a championship.
Right.
You know, but now they're only close out of running out of options. Now, I agree. I think if they have the opportunity, 60. They should trade the Brooklyn pick, because if you're going to suck, it's going to suck when LeBron leaves, if LeBron leaves, no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, it's like with the Orioles, right? Like, they were so concerned, like, oh, like, you know, like, do we rebuild, do we not? Like, I said, go for it, because you never know when you're going to have a 15-year stretch where, you know, rebuilding doesn't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
We'll but now they're the Orioles are just handling everything.
Does anyone think the Celtics can beat the Cavs?
No.
No.
What
they're not going to.
What about the new look, the new Raptors?
No.
I know. Drake's Raptors.
The Pistons.
I think the Pistons will get swept in four very tough games.
Yeah, very tough games. It'd be in all of them.
I've already read into the Basketball Oracle future. The Cavs are going to sweep through the Pistons in the first round.
Toughly, though.
Yeah.
They're going to have to sweat toughly, every game.
Because that's what Stan Van Gundy does. Then we'll play a Toronto again, and we'll beat them in five, and then we'll play Boston, we'll beat them in six, and then Warriors come and we'll probably lose in like five again.
Split.
You talk to the Oracle, the key maker.
You know what we need is what the Cavs need is like a Nancy Kerrigan type situation.
Oh man.
Someone needs to like take a bat to like Tanya Steph Curry's H. like knee. Like his ankles, that would be believable. Like he needs to slip on a wet spot on a floor again in Houston.
Yeah. All right, pick 'em times, guys, because we are over. All right, Jacksonville, New England,
Jaguars.
I knew you were going there.
I have to. I just.
I know. I feel you.
I'm sorry, Jim, but I gotta go Patriots.
God hates Jags.
Ooh.
He's doing that because I picked the Patriots. And he watched me do it.
Wait, you're picking the Jags?
He's picking the Jags.
No, I said.
God hates Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've used that sentence when you.
I say God loves Jags when I pick the Jaguars.
Yeah.
All right.
The Jaguars.
You can try and change your pick all you want, Alex.
He said Patriots. I got you, Alex.
Yes.
I'm with you, Jalen Ramsey.
Minnesota versus Philly.
Minnesota.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm taking the Eagles.
Maybe they'll fly Hugh in for a little QB guru.
Please.
You said it.
We'll send them a private jet to
so
do it.
So I took
it.
Minnesota.
Jimmy Haslam's.
Well.
All right, so we'll have to wait for the Super Bowl to.
Yeah, you'll have to wait for the Jaguars to pick.
No, y'all should pick the Pro Bowl. That's what y'all should do.
The Senior Bowl.
We got to pick the Senior Bowl.
East-West Bowl.
East-West Shrine Game.
I think what we're going to do is if we go in tied, we'll have to pick the Super Bowl and a final score.
And what we'll have to do is you'll have to pick the Super Bowl, and we'll have to. I'm going to bring in five ridiculous Super Bowl bets that you're going to have to go.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll do prop bets.
Because he doesn't. Yeah. Like, I was like, well, if we just tie, we tie. And he's like, you can't tie because whatever.
It's America. Was it soccer?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. You know, Jason Sudeikis coaching the Tottenham Hotspur. All right, this has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
White running back, Alex Baker.
Jimmy Seaman.
Sebastian Merrick.
And until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.